Yeah, someone's on top of the roof. Look. There he is right there. Yeah. Right there. You see him? He's laying down. You see him?
Yeah, he's laying down.
Yeah, look. There he is.
Officer.
We have
criminals. He's on the roof.
We have people that
right here, right on the roof.
Up here.
Shocking event to have an alleged shooting at a campaign event for the presumptive nominee.
What we know right now, the Secret Service says Donald Trump is safe. NBC is reporting the gunman fired a weapon from a high point, an elevated position outside the perimeter of the rally. So outside the Secret Service security area, the shooter is dead. Also a spectator who was attending the rally has been killed, two others injured.
This morning, the FBI is naming the suspected shooter as Thomas Matthew Crooks, 20 years old, from Bethel Park, Pennsylvania, south of Pittsburgh. The FBI saying this remains an active and ongoing investigation.
We noticed the guy crawling, bear crawling, up the roof of the building beside us, 50 feet away from us. So we're standing there, you know, we're pointing at the guy crawling up the roof.
And he had a gun, right?
He had a rifle.
A rifle.
We could clearly see him with a rifle. Absolutely. We're pointing at him. The police are down there running around on the ground. We're like, hey, man, there's guy on the roof with a rifle. And the police were like, huh, what? You know, like they didn't know what was going on. You know, we're like, hey, right here on the roof. We can see him from right here. We see him. You know, he's crawling. And next thing you know, I'm thinking to myself, why is Trump still speaking? Why have they not pulled him off the stage? I'm standing there pointing at him for, you know, 2 or 3 minutes. Secret Service is looking at us from the top of the barn. I'm pointing at that roof, just standing there like this. And next thing you know, 5 shots ring out.
So you're certain that the shots came from that guy on the roof?
100%. 100%.
And he was up there for a couple of minutes.
He was up
you
there.
You saw him up there for a couple of minutes.
Absolutely. At least 3 to 4 minutes.
And you were telling yep. the police in the Secret Service.
We were telling the police. We were pointing at him for the Secret Service, who were looking at us from the top of the barn. They were looking at us the whole time when we were standing by that tree.
Good evening. I'm David Muir, and thank you for joining us for what has been a very disturbing 24 hours in American history. The attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump. Gunfire erupting at his rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. Tonight, we will take you inside the terrifying moments. The investigation, of course, now picking up speed. Federal authorities revealing new details at this hour about the alleged gunman. The images now seen around the world, Donald Trump taking the stage before thousands of cheering supporters. 8.5 minutes later, gunshots fired into that crowd. The former president seen grabbing his ear, ducking for cover. His microphone picking up some of the screams of the people behind him. The Secret Service rushing onto the stage, heard giving orders, then loading him into a nearby SUV. Law enforcement revealing details about the suspected shooter tonight, 20-year-old Thomas Matthew Crooks of Bethel Park, Pennsylvania, described as lonely and quiet, acting on his own. Authorities say he was perched on a rooftop. A law enforcement officer telling ABC News a local police officer was on that roof and confronted the shooter just seconds before he opened fire on the former president. Reports that officer then fell, the shooter then turning back to begin firing toward the president. The stunning new images tonight, the new details from the investigation into the assassination attempt on former President Trump. Video obtained by ABC station WTAE appearing to show the alleged gunman Thomas Crooks walking the perimeter of the rally about 1 hour before the former president was shot. And tonight, the FBI briefing lawmakers and a disturbing timeline has now emerged. The gunman was actually identified as a person of interest 62 minutes before the first shots were fired. He approached security, but when he saw the magnetometers, he apparently backed away. And the Secret Service saw him on that roof a full 20 minutes before he fired at the former president. So what's going on here?
Welcome to The End of Innocence. I'm your host, John Young.
We're starting something new on the podcast, and I'm really excited to see how our listeners and subscribers react to it. I've asked for several weeks for you to email any questions or comments you have about the podcast or the assassination of President John F. Kennedy to me at endofinnocencejfk@gmail.com. I've received hundreds, if not thousands, of emails over the last several weeks. But in the last week, the questions have shifted from the JFK assassination to the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. People want to know my opinion on the attempted assassination, and also, the question I get more than any other is, why does Americans feel the attempted assassination of Trump is a conspiracy? And do people's belief in that have anything to do with the assassination of JFK? We're going to try to answer that in this week's podcast. What really happened at the Butler Farm Showgrounds on July 13, 2024?
Hello, Butler, and hello to Pennsylvania. I'm thrilled to be back in this beautiful commonwealth.
Just after 6:09 p.m., Donald Trump is speaking about illegal immigration to a crowd of supporters.
Millions and millions of people are pouring in from prisons and from mental institutions. We're going to stop it.
A group of audience members see a man on the roof of a nearby building holding a rifle about 130 yards away from the former president.
Look, there he is.
Because we have millions and millions of
The man on the roof is Thomas Matthew Crooks, a 20-year-old nursing home employee who lives about an hour's drive south of the rally venue. Just after 6:11 p.m., more people in the crowd begin to shout. At 33 seconds past 6:11 p.m., a gunshot cracks, and a bullet flies past the former president's head. Trump hears a whizzing sound.
It sounded like a giant, like the world's largest mosquito.
Trump touches his ear, then crashes to the ground as Secret Service agents jump on him. On a roof behind the rally stage, a Secret Service sniper begins firing at Crooks, but Crooks is able to get at least three shots off before he's killed by the sniper fire. One of Crook's shots kills a rally attendee, volunteer firefighter Corey Compitore. Two other attendees are wounded. A minute after the shooting, Trump gets to his feet. The Secret Service agents surrounding him try to rush him into a nearby limousine, but he asks them to wait. At 6:12 p.m., Associated Press photographer Evan Vucci captures an astonishing image of Trump, raising his fist above his head, mouthing the word fight as an American flag billows in the background. It's an iconic image. So that's what we know at this point. There's video, there's audio, there's photos, there are eyewitness reports. But if you look online, you will see hundreds of different interpretations of this event. Conspiracy theories from both sides of politics.
There is something a little bit fishy about the situation.
This is fishy, okay? This is not an accident.
Some think Trump set the whole thing up to help his campaign.
That was more staged than a Tyler Perry production of Madea Runs for President.
And others think the government deliberately ignored Crooks, allowing him to take his shot.
This was allowed to take place because they have wanted Trump out by any means necessary.
Millions of people in America and around the world are already of the opinion that not everything about this assassination attempt is as it seems.
But I'm trying to explain to people, they just tried to kill Trump. What are they going to do next? False flags. You name it.
Have you ever asked yourself, how did it get like this? How can what seems to be a mixture of coincidence and poor planning by security services be instantly construed by millions of people to be something indicative of a deeper and more sinister plot? The truth is they were already primed to question the official narrative about what happened by a very similar event from 1963. Today, the story of how America became the global capital of conspiracy theories and how Donald Trump has long seized on his culture quirk for political gain. This is the first of two episodes about how this particular violent, confusing moment in political history that we are currently living through is deeply connected to the America of the 1960s. Today, there are Hollywood movies and TV series, dozens of documentaries, and thousands of books, all alleging that there was something more than the official narrative at play when John F. Kennedy is shot and killed in Dallas.
It's official. As of just a few moments ago, the President of the United States is dead.
But these conspiracies didn't spring to life fully formed in November 1963. Instead, the seeds of doubt were sown by some of those closest to President Kennedy almost from the moment he was shot.
It appears as though something has happened in the motorcade route. Stand by just a moment, please. Something has happened in the motorcade route. Stand by, please.
Unlike today, when the Trump assassination attempt could be watched instantly online from multiple angles, most Americans followed the events of November 22, 1963 on the radio. U.S. Attorney General Robert F. Kennedy, the little brother of President Kennedy, was following developments from his home in Virginia with CIA Director John McCone.
Parkland Hospital has been advised to stand by for a severe gunshot wound.
Bobby Kennedy picked up the phone, listened briefly, and then put it back down. "He's dead," said Bobby. The two men sat for a moment and then went for a walk in the garden. Bobby's son, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., was 10 years old. He told Fox News that he saw the two men talking and heard what they were saying.
"My father was walking in the yard with John McComb, and my father was posing the same question to him. Was it our people who did this to my brother? So it was my father's first instinct that the agency had killed his brother."
This isn't just a story that RFK Jr. tells, by the way. There are multiple sources indicating that Bobby Kennedy asked the CIA director directly, "Did you do this?" Now, why would he ask that? Bobby Kennedy wasn't trying to get a jump on this conspiracy theorist here. He was acutely aware of what the CIA was capable of. He had, in fact, personally approved many of their operations and had been briefed on many others in his role as Attorney General. And once you've heard the details of some of these operations, you might also find yourself crafting a fedora out of tinfoil. The CIA's primary obsession at the time was Cuba.
Castro marks the second anniversary of his revolution with the biggest military parade ever staged in Cuba, featuring tanks and other heavy weapons from Russia and Red Czechoslovakia.
The U.S. government really didn't like having a heavily armed communist country 90 miles off their coast and were hell-bent on overthrowing their leader Fidel Castro. But Castro would prove very difficult to get rid of.
According to the Cubans, he survived more than 600 assassination attempts, including an exploding cigar and other bizarre plots.
The Americans sent poisonous pills and cigars to anti-communists, or to the mafia, or to Castro's lovers with instructions to figure out a way to get them into Castro's mouth. They developed a poisoned wetsuit, an explosive seashell. Apparently, Castro liked diving. On the day JFK was shot, an American agent was handing a poison pen to a high-ranking Cuban official, hoping that it would be used to kill Castro. These things aren't conspiracy theories. They are real plans that the CIA cooked up. All these documents have now been declassified and you can see them for yourself. But none of these plans worked. Unable to take out the leader, the CIA cooked up a plan to create a pretext for an American invasion of Cuba, fake a Cuban attack, and claim that they were provoked into toppling Castro for America's own safety. The plan was called Operation Northwoods, and it is bonkers. They could blow up a U.S. Navy ship, or shoot down U.S. fighter jets. They could create a fake terrorist campaign in Miami, or dress up in Cuban military uniforms and fake an invasion of some other nearby country. They could rig up a dummy passenger plane to blow up over Cuba and claim that Castro had killed American civilians. It was a plan for a false flag operation to create the pretext for war. And then this happened.
"We have a bulletin coming in. We now switch you directly to Parkland Hospital.
The President of the United States is dead."
Could the assassination of President Kennedy be just another harebrained scheme cooked up by the CIA? John McCone, CIA director, denied his agency had anything to do with it. He claims he was as shocked and confused as anyone else. So who did do it? The Dallas police arrested a suspect, and they were pretty confident that he was the right guy. They sold him off to be a reclusive, abusive, depressed, narcissistic ex-Marine Marxist named Lee Harvey Oswald. They built a narrative for him so he would be quite suspicious. He had tried and failed to defect to the Soviet Union. He had handed out pamphlets and talked on the radio about his sympathy for Cuba and Castro. And he had recently applied for a Cuban visa. It was quite a narrative set up for this Lee Harvey Oswald.
"The CIA
has made monumental mistakes in its relations with Cuba.
The FBI, CIA, and KGB all had files on Lee Harvey Oswald. The KGB and FBI thought he was too odd to be useful or a threat. But what about the CIA? Declassified files now show that the CIA was monitoring Oswald and reading his mail months leading up to the assassination. Oswald denied any involvement in the assassination of JFK.
I don't know what this is all about. I'm just a patsy.
But before anyone could really figure out whether that was true, Oswald was shot dead on live TV by a local nightclub owner, Jack Ruby.
Being let out by Captain Prince.
Lee Oswald has been shot. There's the man with a gun. Absolute panic. Absolute panic here in the basement of Dallas Police Headquarters. Detectives have their guns drawn. There is no question about it. Oswald has been shot at point blank range, fired into his stomach.
He is shot.
That is the man that shot the man.
The whole thing stank, and something must be up. You're trying to tell me that a supposed lone crazed guy with connections to the Soviet Union and Cuba shot the most powerful man in the free world and then was killed in police custody surrounded by dozens of police officers? New President Lyndon Johnson knew that he had to get out ahead of the theory springing up about what happened and commissioned the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Earl Warren, to help convince the American public that Oswald was a lone assassin.
The Chief Justice asked that the work progress as rapidly as possible in the interests of informing the people and anyone throughout the world as to what really happened.
While the CIA promised to cooperate fully with the Warren Commission, they didn't at all. See, they had filing cabinets full of pretty questionable stuff. Those plans to assassinate Castro with wetsuits and seashells, Operation Northwoods, and what they really knew about Lee Harvey Oswald. They really didn't want these things to come out, so they gently steered the Warren Commission away from Cuba. But who cares, right? In their eyes, it wasn't relevant. They didn't want anyone to find any evidence that indicated that Oswald was innocent or maybe part of a conspiracy, and they knew the commission was already told to find him guilty anyway. So why air all their dirty laundry? They weren't alone, though. The FBI and Secret Service also weren't entirely forthcoming, hoping to cover up mistakes that both agencies had made, which led to the assassination in Dallas. You see, 9 of 28 Secret Service men who were in Dallas with the president the day he died had been out in local clubs until the early morning hours of November 22nd. In one case, until 5 a.m. 3 of the Secret Service agents riding a few feet from the president in the follow-up car had been, by their own accounts, up very late and drinking, an activity prohibited in the Secret Service rulebook. Obviously, men who have been drinking until nearly 3 a.m. or 5 a.m. are in no condition to be trigger alert or in the best physical shape to protect anyone. Although the agents had broken the rules, many involved with the Warren Commission were eager to protect them from going down in history as the men who had made mistakes that had doomed the president. The FBI also had things they wanted to hide. One of their agents, James Hostie, was unofficially investigating Lee Harvey Oswald months before the assassination of JFK. Why? In early November 1963, Hostie made contact with Oswald's wife, Marina Oswald. Lee Oswald found out about this and wrote Hostie a hostile note to protest what he considered harassment of Marina. Oswald also had Hostie's name, phone number, and car license plate number in his address book. After the assassination, FBI agent Hostie tore up the note from Oswald and flushed it down the toilet. So the FBI, Secret Service, and CIA withheld information. So what's the big deal, right? In the long term, this was a catastrophic mistake. The Warren Commission report was handed down a year after the shooting, and just like it planned,
the report found that Lee Harvey Oswald, acting alone, had in fact slain President Kennedy. The report became an instant bestseller the world over.
The full Warren report, all 26 volumes of it, was 16,000 pages long. After its publication, a poll found that between 45 and 50% of Americans did still think that it was a conspiracy, but that was down from 62% beforehand. Of course, there were folks out there doing their own research into the assassination, but not that many. It was hard work without the internet.
Well, I've been at
for more than 3 years. I've made many trips to Dallas, 9 trips now.
With every year that went by, more and more information that was kept from the Warren Commission became public. And with each revelation, belief that the JFK assassination was part of a conspiracy, potentially a CIA conspiracy, went up.
The CIA's actions a decade ago are a stain on our value and on our history.
For years, the CIA has covered up all sorts of things. Drone programs, illegal arms sales, mass surveillance of American citizens, and torture.
Detainees being waterboarded, detainees being hung by their arms for more than 2 weeks. One detainee was kept awake for more than a week.
The fact is, when you actually are doing illegal or immoral things and lying about it, who is going to believe you when you say that you didn't fake the moon landing or a terrorist attack or a mass shooting at an elementary school or whatever this is?
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay!
And when you've got a reasonably large proportion of your population with that level of distrust in the government, you've got a problem. In the last 20 years, polls asking people about conspiracy theories have shown an interesting shift. In a poll done in 2003 on the 40th anniversary of JFK's death, 73% of Democrats believed that the assassination was a conspiracy, compared with 58% of Republicans. That sort of makes sense. Kennedy was a Democratic president, after all. But by 2023, on the 60th anniversary, after a lot of the classified files on the JFK assassination had been finally released to the public, it had flipped almost exactly. Now, way more Republicans thought that the government was somehow responsible for JFK's death. Could it be thanks in large part to one of the most successful conspiracy theorists of all time, Donald Trump?
It's really very curious as to what's going on with our president.
It started with allegations that Barack Obama wasn't born in America.
Why doesn't he show the birth certificate?
Then he said that his 2016 Republican primary opponent, Ted Cruz's father, was connected to the JFK assassination.
His father was with Lee Harvey Oswald prior to Oswald being, shot. I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous.
But it's gone so much further than that. He's promoted conspiracy theories about his rivals for president, Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden. He says that climate change is a
hoax. It's a hoax. I mean, it's a money-making industry, okay? It's a hoax.
He's endorsed conspiracies about Muslims, Latin Americans, and Jews. He said that vaccines cause autism and wind turbines cause cancer. And of course, there's this.
We were getting ready to win this election. Frankly, we did win this election.
And maybe his biggest conspiracy theory of all, the 2020 election was stolen from him. As a Trump supporter, I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying he promoted it.
This is a major fraud in our nation. We will win this, and we, as far as I'm concerned, we already have.
That conspiracy had real-world consequences. Its believers stormed the U.S. Capitol trying to disrupt the peaceful transfer of power. Again, I'm a Trump supporter, but let's be honest. He is the master of calling so many things fake news. Is it any wonder that when Trump himself was shot last weekend, both Republicans and Democrats immediately reached conspiracy theories to explain what happened? In many ways, the U.S. government did this to itself. After decades of trying to cover up evidence of unethical government programs, they've created a movement of millions of Americans who cannot trust their government and may be looking to one of their own to make America great again. We still don't know what motivated Thomas Matthew Crooks to shoot at Donald Trump. Just like we never got an explanation why the U.S. government thought Lee Harvey Oswald shot at John F. Kennedy.
I'm not supposed to be here tonight. Not supposed to be here.
Yes, you are.
I stand before you in this arena only by the grace of Almighty God.
If you like what you hear every week and want to learn more about the assassination, please pick up my book, The End of Innocence, The Assassination of President John F. Kennedy. It's available right now on Amazon. Or you can find it at www.endofinnocencejfk.com. And hey, send me your comments about the book or this podcast at endofinnocencejfk@gmail.com. We'll see you next week.